I was going to preach on the look of godliness, and I was going to use the whole passage of Titus chapter 2. But as I continue to try to prepare this message, I've prepared another message, but I'm not going to share that one tonight because the Lord really laid on my heart a specific area of the latter part. It's in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. And it comes down to an issue of practicing self-control. For whatever reason, my heart was so burdened because that's an area that our culture is really, really struggling with. Let's read this together, if you would, please. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that we might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Father, I pray that you would help us look at this one particular thought that you laid on my heart, that in fact it would be a message from you, it would be a challenge to every one of our lives, and we would walk out of here challenged to be different for your glory. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we're going to discuss God's grace works in our life. There is a need for the grace of God to be a hold of us and grab hold of us and make a difference instead of just going about life. In the New King James, it's translated soberly. That word really is translated a lot of different ways in the different translations. But we should live soberly. Now, that word alone, it really does capture the thought. Because in our neighborhood, what do we have a lot of problem with here? We have a lot of problem with people not living soberly. They're drunk too much of the time, or they're intoxicated, they're under the influence way too much. So in some respects, our own little neighborhood can identify with the word soberly very well. We're to be sober, not like the chaos that goes on as a result of not being in control. The Greek word behind this has the idea of sound, reasonable thinking. Sound, reasonable thinking, sensible, self-controlled, sober thinking. You know, that's needed today. You know, we need it even as believers who are having no trouble with addiction, although I'm not, you know, Lord knows, we face that within our group. But I'm talking about, forgetting that for a second, I'm talking about the pressures of an earthquake that followed by a tsunami, which followed by a nuclear problem, followed by the troops going into another country when we're already in two others, and you sit there and say, whoa, and then you think about the economic impact of the third largest economy crashing before our eyes and the obvious impact that that has on a global system of economic dependence. We need to be sober thinking. We need to have self-control in the way we, you know, it is a blessing. Let me tell you, one of the big blessings I feel about this whole thing that's going on in our world today, it does cause us to reflect. Honestly, I suspect if you have been having your devotional time, your quiet time with the Lord, I can't imagine you stepping away from the realities that are going on in our culture and not getting alone with the Lord and say, is this the day? I mean, honestly, I'm not the only one that does that, am I? I mean, you look at what's going on and you say, wow, this looks a lot like what you prophesied in Ezekiel all the way through Revelation. Could I be one of those that one day I'm going to be walking out to my car and I'm not going to get to my car, but I'm going to be absent from the body and instantaneously in the clouds with the Savior? What a thrilling thought. Self-control. It is required of all of us. We are to live soberly. We are to live self-controlled. Now, just reflect on that. Think about your week. Have you had any situations this week where the things weren't going the way you wanted it, and they kind of built up, and then another thing interjected itself, and then the phone rang, and then something else happened, and something broke in the house, you know, and all? Did you maintain self-control? It really, we're talking about practical stuff here. Talking about practical stuff. 1988 was when I was still really into football. Okay, there was a, you know, I walked away from this. The truth is, I don't, you know, I didn't even watch the Super Bowl this year. So from where I was to where I am today is just quite an incredible journey, actually, in regards to sports. But any of you remember the game between Notre Dame and Boston College? It was a big deal because Notre Dame was going for the national championship. They really were lined up to take it again. And they're up against Boston College, but they really didn't expect to be that strong. And it gets down to the fourth quarter. This was an exciting game. I can actually picture it as a, on the old TV, just getting all excited because I never liked Notre Dame. But they were ahead. They kick off. And Boston College picks up the ball and runs it back. And it wasn't that big a deal in their run back. You know where they normally end up in the 20-yard line? They ended up in the 30-yard line. Not that big a deal. But one of the guys on the Notre Dame special teams was so enthusiastic. He did exactly what I wanted him to do. He roughed up somebody after the whistle blew. That's a good thing, by the way, when you're a Boston College fan at this point, with just minutes, we're down to minutes, a minute left, or less than a minute. And what did that do? It moved it from the 30-yard line, which wouldn't have been that big a deal. You know, whether you're at the 20 or 30, when you only got seconds left, they should have been able to handle that. But all of a sudden, the ball was advanced another 15 yards because of that individual who, in his enthusiasm, lost control and was penalized, and the team all of a sudden was on the 50-yard line. They ran a series of plays and made about another 15 yards, and guess what they're in now? They're in field goal range. The clock ticks down. There's only room for one more play, and Boston College kicks a field goal and wins the game. And Notre Dame did not take the championship. You can look it up. They never took the national championship in 1988. Because of that one individual in that one, you know, he probably today vividly remembers that moment. And he probably will remember it for the rest of life. The fact is, a lot of fans would still remember that if they were really enthusiastic. What's the problem here? A loss of self-control, even for just a split second, often has serious ramifications. And this is in the context of Titus chapter 2, where Titus is being challenged by the Apostle Paul that we ought to look differently. We ought to live differently. The women ought to be different. The men ought to be different. The young men and the older men and the young women, the older women, is telling about how they ought to interact and how they ought to be godly. And he comes down to talking to Titus at the end, and he says, in this context, he talks about being sober. Stay in control. If you're thinking clearly, you would likely not do these things. If you're thinking clearly. If I tell my boss he's an idiot, it will hurt my chances of promotion. Sometimes you feel like telling the boss you're an idiot. How about if I pad my expense account? That I'll be compromising my integrity and very likely could jeopardize your career. Just for minuscule amounts. As one who ran several companies, I saw that often. Let me tell you, the guys that cheated on the expense accounts weren't thought of in my list of promotion candidates. If you keep smoking cigarettes, you know, the truth is, you could get cancer, and your likelihood of getting cancer has increased substantially. If you keep eating everything in your sight, what's the likely outcome? Not good. How about if you give in to sexual temptation? doesn't speak well for the future of your marriage. Doesn't mean that the marriage is over, but it surely says there's some troubled water ahead. If you continue to scream at your kids, do you think it could end up having some permanent impact on the relationship? You bet. They tell you when they're 16, 17, they're out of here, and they are when they're old enough to go. How do you develop the habit of sound, reasonable thinking that leads to sound, reasonable self-control? That's what we're going to deal with tonight from this passage in Titus chapter 2. I trust you have your Bibles open, but I want to point out a couple other little phrases that really catch my eye when I read this passage. This one here that it talks about teaching us. You know what that says? That's a present participle. It's talking about an ongoing process. It's not talking and focusing at an event. Self-control is an ongoing learning, and developing it is an ongoing process. It's something that'll go, well, that's significant. But you know what else? That next phrase, in the present age, takes away this argument, yeah, I just can't help myself, man. This is the way I am. I'll have to deal with that in glory. Ever had people that, I'm going to be addicted forever. I'll die addicted to alcohol. I can't get victory. I've heard that pathetically too many times. That's not true. He's talking about us being under self-control in this present age, right now. Right here, and next week, and the week after that. How do you develop this habit of sound, reasonable thinking that ends up at sound, reasonable self-control? Expect more of yourself. No minor issue, by the way, but it is extremely biblical. Think about that one area of your life where you're having trouble with this. You know, when I was younger and then when I came to Christ, I'll tell you what the area was for me. It was anger. I was one explosive guy. If I got pushed in the wrong way, I wouldn't always blow up, but I made a practice of getting even. I'm not proud of that. I didn't have a perspective. I didn't understand. God got a hold of me on that one. Let me tell you. My concept of getting ahead in business, about climbing over dead bodies, which I felt was the way it was done. In other words, your manager, I want his job. And after I got his job, I wanted the manager ahead of that. And I moved up very quickly with that in mind. I was, whatever they did, I would learn their job and do it better than they were. And I would make sure whoever they worked for would be able to figure it out. It's a horrible way. That's not a biblical way. In our self-focused world, it's the way a lot of things operate. Expect more of yourself. What do I mean by that? Most of us are way too easy on ourselves. We've gotten way too comfortable with just, well, you know, that's just the way I am. You know, there are a lot of people in our day and age in Christendom and good churches and Bible-believing churches like ours. Men that are not having victory in the area of pornography. And they're saying, man, I just can't stop it. I just get drunk. That's a bunch of garbage. You're too easy on yourself. You don't have to put up with this stuff. You can say no and you can live godly and righteously in this present day. I just have a problem with gluttony. I just have a problem with lust. I just have a problem with patience. It's just the way I am. I can't control my anger. I can't control this. I can't control... No, that's not biblical. Look at this verse. Read it. Think about it. In particular, think about the highlighted part and tell me, if you are truly a believer, what part of this verse doesn't apply to you? It says, no temptation has overtaken you except is common to man. Oh, you mean I'm not that special with my problem? No. But God is faithful. And I want you to really focus in on that. It's deity. It's the all-powerful one, the one who created everything and sustains everything. It is him It is Him who says the next statement is true. He's the faithful one that says, who will not allow you. It is God who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Expect more of yourself and say no to what you know is wrong. And say yes to what you know you ought to be doing. Stop making excuses. But within the temptation, the faithful God says, I will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear the pressure. You know what is so important to recognize? He does not, in this verse, tell us that the pressure, the temptation, is removed. He says, under the pressure of it, you can stand strong. You can be God's man or God's woman and do right and honor Him no matter what the circumstances. And that's exactly what He's calling for us to do. Not something close to that, but that. In this present age, we are to live victoriously. Expect more of yourself. Make no excuses for yourself. We should live soberly, self-controlled lives. When I think of that latter part, in this present age, I am reminded of Philippians, which talks about the fact that it isn't an instantaneous event in most cases. I have known some individuals who have come to Christ and who have had an addiction to some of these very powerful drugs and or alcohol and have come to Christ and instantly dropped it. That was it. No more. Done. But that is not the normal. The normal situation is people will have that entrained behavior that they kind of built a rut in their life, and they keep having a tendency to fall back into the rut. And you've got to work at it, focus on it, in the power of God, memorizing Scripture, because Scripture clearly tells us that it is Scripture that gives us the power with the power that the Spirit uses to give us the victory. But notice what Paul says. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. That's a sweet truth. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are before. Reaching forward. Behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know what that says? That speaks to an ongoing battle. It isn't an instantaneous thing, but you press forward and you press upward. Do you want to learn self-control? Expect more of yourself. The first thing one has to do is say, you know what, enough is enough. I'm not doing this anymore. It's absolutely in line with putting off the old behavior. It's absolutely in line with making a commitment to renew your mind, think differently, get the Word of God in there. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to his word. And then putting in place right behavior. And you and I can do it. Expect more of yourself. And expect more from the future. In this passage, it is so beautiful in the way it says it. In this context of living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, it goes right into this next statement. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, recognize that at any moment He could come. And that truly drives you towards sober living, self-controlled living. That's why the events that are going on around the world, they're good things. Because they ought to motivate every one of us to be closer to our Lord and on fire for Him. Because we really do not know whether we have another week. Even if He's not coming for the church, He may be coming for you. I was walking in tonight. Don't we all kind of get, at different times we just get focused on doing things and you just get. I was coming in tonight, had my little grandson, my 2-year-old grandson coming alongside of me. He was all excited about coming to the nursery. He wanted to play with Simon, I guess is the real event of the night. That was the game plan. So he was coming along and I was handling stuff in my hand and I think I grabbed my phone. I grabbed my phone, that phone. I should throw it to my wife right now and just get rid of it. But I grabbed my phone and I grabbed the door and I pulled the door. The only problem is he was standing right there. In a second, I knocked him right smack in the head at the door. What it reminded me of as I was coming into this message, he never knew that he was going to get hit in the head with the door. I mean, that just wasn't in his radar. You know, he just was, Grandpa wouldn't do that to me. And Grandpa never did it intentionally. But Grandpa did do it to him. But isn't that the way it is? I'll never forget. I trust I'll never forget. When a year ago, when Pam and I left here we were going away for 3 or 4 days. We just needed a break. And we got out. We were delayed with all sorts of things. And we finally got out and it was rush hour. And we go out on 35W. It was under construction. And we're just moving along. The traffic was moving about 45 miles an hour. And we're going through this construction zone. All of a sudden, this car comes out of nowhere. There was no entrance ramp. He was a construction worker that probably had gotten fired that morning. And he just drove right on out, swerved. A couple cars just barely missed it. I barely missed him. But guess what didn't miss me? An 18-wheeler, fully loaded, smashed in the back of our Scion. You know, this little, tiniest, smallest tin can you could imagine. And here we get plowed into by an 18-wheeler, and the two of us didn't even recognize for a fair amount of time what happened. Because you have this glass going everywhere and this horrible sound. You know, neither one of us went to the hospital. We went and checked out at the hospital. There was no problem. We made it through this. But a reminder that at any instant, out of nowhere, it could be over. Our time here, our ticket could be called, as they say. Are you ready? Are you living your life the way you want it to be when you go from this life to the next? Are you absent from the body and present with the Lord? We should be mindful to live self-controlled lives at all times, because we don't know when that instant is coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 says, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown." But notice this phrase, "but we for an imperishable crown." We ought to be living for eternity. We ought to be getting up, even the rest of the night. You know, often Pam and I view the end of the Sunday night service, you know, just kind of, we're going to just go home and relax. You know what? I don't know. You know, there's a sense in which we need to relax. I'm not saying that's wrong. But even when we relax, we need to remember that we have been bought with a price. We are not our own. And God has a purpose for our lives. That doesn't mean we ought not to have vacation time or relaxation time or refocus. As Brother Simon would testify, you know, what did I say to our seminary class? This assignment this week, take 2 weeks, 2 hours of the week and just get alone with the Lord. Get alone. I mean, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. So relax. But even in the midst of that, He could come at any moment. We need to discipline our thoughts, our activities, every aspect of our life for His glory because we have been bought. Expect more from the future helps us practice self-control today. And here's what I'm saying. You know, I think of this for younger people. Not necessarily this group, but for this morning it would have had some more application. Or for single people, You know, it's really easy when you just give up on life and say, forget it, to start just say, well, forget it. I'm just going to do what feels good right now. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Bad move. Keep in mind that this is all for eternity. And we're always accountable. And God promises us to bless us. And we ought to be looking to that, lifting up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Matthew chapter 9 reminds us, Matthew chapter 6 reminds us in 19 verse 20, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, not on earth, where the moth and rust get to it. In heaven, where it's eternally protected. That's how we ought to be living every moment. We practice self-control today for the blessings that God has in store for us in the future and in eternity. That's the way we ought to live right. We ought to be honest on our expense accounts today because we know God sees it. And He has a way of blessing us in the future. When we don't believe in the future, we tend to develop a now or never mindset, which just has us go for it. Just do it. And people do that all the time. You know, I see that in our neighborhood. You see people that, well, they get pretty angry very quickly. Why? Because they don't care. Arrest me. Who cares? I'm already running from the law. Who cares? And so they can be pretty, you know, pretty dangerous to deal with. Do you want to learn self-control? First of all, expect more of yourself. Second of all, expect more from the future. Because God promises to bless us, both immediately and short term. He does in many, many ways, but not necessarily in our timing. In eternity, for sure. We are joint heirs with the Savior. And then acknowledge God's loving presence. If you want to have self-control, remind yourself that He's here, right here and now, and He sees it all. Do you want to know why God sent His Son into the world? That's a beautiful portion of this passage. Look at verse 14. Why is all of this going on? Why did Jesus come? Why is there Christianity? Because Jesus Christ took the initiative to come down, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people. He came down here to get a hold of us and to purify us, change us, and to mold us into the people He wants us to be, because He's zealous for good works from us. That's a good reminder. Now, if you said to yourself and looked at your life today as believers, how many of you would say you're believers? Okay. Do you recognize that God intends for you to be about doing good works? That's what it's saying. He's doing this because He's zealous that you not just sit there and do nothing, but that you invest yourself in others for all eternity. Well, He is excited about this. It is a thrilling aspect of the Christian walk to be involved in what He does. He came here so that we should not perish, have everlasting life, that we might be saved. I'm reminded in Psalms 45, 18, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him. Isn't that a sweet thought? And to all who call upon Him in truth. He's right there. We're never outside of His touch. Notice the next one. If you feel downtrodden, abandoned, and hopeless. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Isn't that a powerful truth? Wow. What it's reminded me is that the whole world can turn against, but our God will never leave us. Literally what it says in Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct, notice the context here, let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. It's talking about self-control, isn't it? For He Himself has said, in this very context, He reminds, and the author of Hebrews reminds them, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't be content. Don't be overtaken with covetousness. Matthew chapter 28, the very last of his challenges to us to go into all the world and reach, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, here's the truth, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's literally what the scripture says. Amen. Do you want to learn self-control? Expect more of yourself. Expect more of the future. And acknowledge on a regular basis God's loving presence. We, as believers, need to be living such a self-disciplined life that the world sees it. Now, when I say self-discipline, I'm not talking about grumpy, you know, looking like we're always going to a funeral. No, I'm talking about living in the world, rejoicing in the Lord, and not being caught up in the foolishness of the world. In the world, but not part of the world, for His glory. Whatsoever we do in word or deed, no matter how it comes at us, do all to the glory of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to just look at this small portion of Titus. I pray that there be another night when or another day when we're able to look at that whole chapter. What a beautiful group of truths about how we ought to live godly lives. But I pray, Father, in this evening challenge that we would all be challenged to look at our own lives and take it to another level in regards to controlling the way we think, every thought, every word, every deed, that would be brought into the conformity of your nature, your very essence, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.